This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Jane doesn't mind an apartment with no elevator.
5 flights of stairs is 5 flights of cardio.
Bob is a little less enthusiastic about stairs.
I hate stairs.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle renters and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Jane and Bob found an apartment that's a 4-story walk-up. And Bob?
Yeah, there's a freight elevator she doesn't know about.
What were you talking about?
Nothing.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
Get a load of these!
Shut up, Riley!
Real Girl Done Video going! Oh, yeah!
Hey, gang, it's Kenny Thomas!
Kenny!
Devin Clone Gene! Available everywhere!
Beanie?
Yep.
Welcome to Jerry's Taco World. Would you like to try a burrito?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
No. Here you go, Crisco.
Oh, my.
Hey, it worked. You're gone.
Bob and Tom.
Hey, welcome to Bob and Tom's Bits and Pieces. I'm Willie Griswold, joined as always by Jessica Hooker and Jess Alsman. And we're actually going to go right into something we were talking about off mic. Jess, yesterday you said you did a double drive-thru day.
I did.
You did McDonald's and then you went to Burger King.
I'm trying to make everyone happy in the household. Donnie wouldn't tell me what he wanted. So I'm like, look, I'm just going to get a variety. I'm going to get a Big Mac, fries, onion rings, and a Whopper. Can't go wrong.
I love that. Well, because it reminded me, I used to live in Chicago right near Wrigley Field. And they're torn down now, but there used to be a Taco Bell and a McDonald's right by Wrigley, and both had a drive-thru. And I did the double delivery. I'm sorry, not the double delivery. That's a whole different thing. I did the double drive-thru day. My buddy Mark Renucci, we got Taco Bell and we got McDonald's, and it was like a, you know, a chubby little stoner's paradise. It was a great night for us.
Sometimes you just want those stupid fries from McDonald's,
I don't know what it is. Leading up to Lent, we get everything from every fast food restaurant on the street nearest our town. We get KFC, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, Subway. We do all of it. And that's what we do.
Day by day, like an advent calendar?
Fat Tuesday. We do awesome. Fat Tuesday. And we have a buffet of all of the fast food because we usually just don't eat fast food over Lent. Yeah.
Does it count as three yesterday since I actually...
What'd you get?
What'd I do? Uber Eats, some ice cream delivered like at 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh, they're still taking orders. 4 pints of birthday cake, please, because my birthday's coming up and I deserve it. And I ate it all. One pint.
I've done this before. And when you get ice cream delivered to you, I didn't get like a pint. I just got like an ice cream sundae. And the person that's delivering it must go, this person must be so stoned or just... Mm-hmm. The saddest person in the whole wide world.
Option two, please.
Sometimes it can be option two and option one together. And that's when the sadness and the funness really come together.
Yeah. You guys are so fortunate. I live so far out in the country that I don't have any of those things. I don't have Uber or Grubhub or no options for
delivery. That's a good thing. You're saving money because when you know you have access to it, it's like, well, game on.
See. No, Jess, you're saving money, but I like to think that I support the local delivery.
That's how I feel. I like
to help the people,
local, you know?
Always tip a lot, especially when you're getting 2 things of ice cream at 10:30 p.m. and you probably shouldn't be eating anymore.
I didn't know you could order ice cream. You guys are teaching me so much.
You can order ice cream. You can order rolling papers. You can order whatever you need, and it comes to your door. And yes, you probably should just put your shoes on. Put your pants on before your shoes. You know, be an adult. You should get out of the house. You should just go to the supermarket where you can get all of those things. Yeah. But you want to support the local economy, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing that I'm stealing from my dad, by the way, is he's been saying that he's supporting dairy creamers, and that's his excuse is why he's not switching to a milk alternative for his coffee. I'm not going to support the coconut milk people, okay?
Oh, okay.
I am supporting the dairy farmers.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Absolutely.
Well, this kind of dovetails into voting, as we're almost in election season here, that you can either go to and vote at your polling place, or you could do an absentee.
Yeah.
Sure. State by state.
That's the thing. There's so many wonderful options in life, whether it's food, voting, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
I love
true.
It.
So the next time you DoorDash $45 worth of Taco Bell at 10 a.m., just remember, you're exercising your right to vote.
Yeah.
As an American should. But yeah, we're doing bits and pieces. We're listening to old Bob and Tom bits. Election season, so election theme. Do you guys want to get right into it?
Yeah.
I have an early Doug LaDouche ad, and we're still doing those, even some fresh ones we've done even the last couple weeks. But I think, I don't know exactly the date on this, but I know he dates back to the 2016 presidential election. This one might even be back to 2012. And so these go back a ways, mm-hmm. and they're not, you know, the show isn't ever get political one way or another. We're just kind of making fun of politicians and the whole system. So here's a Doug LaDouche to get us started.
I'm Doug LaDouche, and I approve this ad. If you've heard my opponent's commercials, you know that they're full of negative and personal attacks on me. Mm-hmm. What do DUIs, tax liens, and soliciting prostitutes have to do with running for Congress?
Right?
I ask you, just because someone did something bad yesterday doesn't mean they can't be good tomorrow.
That's right.
I am promising to run a positive campaign with no mudslinging or personal attacks. Mm-hmm. That's why I, Doug LaDouche, will not run ads that mention the rumor that my opponent is a deadbeat dad, never pays for mulch, and stole 17 meatloaf dinners from Meals on Wheels. Even if these are undoubtedly true, they will never be mentioned by me, Doug LaDouche. So, vote for me this election. Remember, I am planning for tomorrow, not for today.
Uh-huh.
I'm Doug LaDouche, and I like animals and children.
Paid for by the Doug LaDouche for President Committee, Ted Fiekelman Treasurer.
You know, I say it on air sometimes, but I'm just not going to support a candidate that keeps Ted Fiekelman by his side.
Right.
You know, I just think it's a dangerous guy. So Doug LaDouche has been around forever. From what I remember, I think at least probably not forever, actually. Probably maybe around 2010. Jason, you were saying that one was around 2016.
I think that could have been 2012.
Yeah.
I mean, and he here's how we know it's a little bit earlier one. He says he's running for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't quite got up to I'm running for president yet.
Right.
So I bet
right.
this was 2012, 2014, and there's sort of an indicator there because Bob's laughing.
Yes.
Yep.
So I'm guessing 12 or 14.
I wrote down Bob laugh right here,
yeah.
which is one of my favorite things of the show.
Oh, hands
it's Bob Kavoyan. That guy contributed a lot, but that signature Bob Kavoyan laugh.
Yeah, that's the stamp of approval.
Absolutely.
As a guest on the show, you were working for Bob's laugh and Chick's accompaniment.
Sure.
Would that be, yeah, that would probably be a fair thing to say.
Sure. It's like when I was at the kid at the dinner table, I was trying to get my brother to laugh and I was trying to get my dad to laugh.
Exactly.
You know, that's the kind of thing you're
aiming for. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And obviously, like, Tom will decide if you're on the show. So that's that. But, and Christy, you want to be buddies with Christy. Everybody loves Christy. But the Bob laugh was you knew you were probably going to get invited back.
Absolutely. It's a real, yeah, it's a stamp of approval. It's a watermark of when a bit was.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I was going to say about Doug LaDouche, I remember being in high school and seeing like a Doug LaDouche shirt or whatever it was, some merch would show up around the house. And I remember being a kid and going, you know what? I know that I'm 12 or whatever, but this seems a little immature. The name LaDouche could be a little more subtle.
Yeah.
And then you get older, and then you just come to appreciate a really silly name like LaDouche.
Who wrote this? Like, who wrote out this campaign message? Hitting the points, you know.
I think it might have been the voice of Ted Fiekelman, perhaps, may have started it.
That
I don't know for
right.
sure who's actually one of Bob's best friends, Whit.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course.
It feels like something he might have done. I think Tom might have been behind it, too. There might have been, because I'm pretty certain the very early ones were recorded at the Shack.
Yeah.
And so that means Tom did have a part in it.
Sure.
And if Mr. Fiekelman was there voicing, I'm guessing he had a part in it. So, yeah they've been around, and they might have even predated 2012.
Yeah.
I'm not for sure, but I do love how Doug will say, I, Doug LaDouche, and me, Doug LaDouche. He does that a couple times in there.
That voice, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect, and I don't know how they stumbled upon him being the guy, but I love it.
So that is it's my dad's best friend. Some would say only friend, depending on who you ask.
Wow. A sweetheart.
My dad's best friend, he's a really nice guy, really great, really funny, and we were getting dinner, actually, we were getting lunch a couple weeks ago, and I go, hey, I heard the new LaDouche. It is so funny. You hit that out of the park, and it's kind of really kind of subtle and nuanced. And I really thought he did this kind of stellar performance. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, usually I kind of just, I don't read it before we do it. And I've never been great at reading, so I kind of just take my time.
It's perfect.
And I was like, that's why it's so good. Yeah. It's so good because you're not a comedian, mm-hmm. and you're not going for laughs. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the same way. When you see some of these political ads, when it's the politician talking, you can tell that they are not as well-spoken as the other people in their party is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You know, the people that are helping
them. Right.
And so it really just sounds like a politician when you give them time to talk. Let them open up.
Oh, when I first heard Doug LaDouche, I don't think I ever realized who was behind the voice. And then when I started working in the building, I became friends with his daughter, and it blew my mind. And I now own a t-shirt with his face on it. Mm-hmm. And Doug LaDouche is a real man. He has an Instagram account. That makes him real.
Oh,
Elect
wow.
LaDouche.
And the picture of Doug LaDouche is the voice of Doug LaDouche.
Yes, we have. I found boxes and boxes of buttons.
Oh, buttons, yes.
There's buttons back there.
Oh my gosh,
that's
great.
Found. Doug LaDouche.
And just to make sure that we are kind of concealing behind the curtain, we cannot confirm that his daughter, Christy LaDouche, works in the building. We're not going to say if that's her or not. It's just a coincidence if Christy LaDouche happens to work here.
No. Before we go to the next one, I want to laugh a little bit about what is the line about he doesn't pay for mulch?
Like, what's that about?
I don't know.
And he stole 18 meatloaves from Meals on Wheels.
That sounds kind of bad, really. That's terrible.
That's pretty rough.
It sounds like he's just an opportune thief.
Yeah, but somebody that, like, somebody knows somebody who doesn't pay for mulch. Like, that is a very specific thing. Like, I won't say what I know, but there's people I know that get certain things for free every year.
We may or may not know that Jessica's brother steals his mulch. No, of course not. No,
some towns offer free mulch, though.
Do they really?
Yes.
Oh, what? I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
What city is this you're living in? Narnia?
Some call it Knob City.
Oh, you guys get free mulch?
It's available for a limited time.
Oh, is there a wait list?
I haven't done it in years. But
enjoy your property taxes.
But like, if you just need a little bit.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Grandma Jessica.
Jessica, are you a 68-year-old man? Enjoy your property taxes.
You got higher property tax there, Jason, so you might get mulch, but you know.
That's true.
You can't keep that up.
I think you'd be surprised. Tweet us out there if your town has free mulch.
Right.
Welcome back to Talking Mulch.
I feel like it's a Donnie Baker thing, actually. If you needed free mulch, you could probably call Donnie and he'd put you
in contact.
I ain't paid for free mulch since 1987, swear to God. That was probably the worst Donnie Baker on record. Pretty good.
Well, let's do this. Let's play our first comedian piece I think we've played since starting doing this. We're only four episodes in. But it's a short but good one. But boy, it hits it out of the park. It's our good friend, Greg Warren.
Comedian Greg Warren is here in the studio with us. Now, Greg, we've learned about your love life. That didn't take long. What else is going on? How's your family?
My parents are fighting.
Oh. Uh-oh. I'm sorry to hear that.
They're fighting over the dryer. My mom says we need a new dryer, and my dad says we don't. Mm-hmm. And the fights are getting mean. I think they're going to start taking out those political attack ads against each other.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Colleen Warren wants a new dryer. We don't need a new dryer. Colleen Warren wants to waste our money. Money that could be spent on a new security system for this home. Colleen Warren wants terrorists to invade our home. This ad was paid for by me because I'm the one with the damn job in this house. Jerry Warren says the dryer isn't broken. Just like he said the air conditioner wasn't broken, the car wasn't broken, and our son Greg's arm wasn't broken.
Oh.
Haven't we had enough of Jerry Warren? This ad was paid for by Jerry Warren, and he doesn't even know it.
This is so good.
And I know we've used this term before, Stairway to Heaven, but that's up there in the Greg Warren bits. That's top three easy for me.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's more of Dayer Maker for me. I've always been a no-neck Nick guy.
Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yeah.
I love Greg Warren.
Oh, yeah. He's...
I think he might be the comedian, and there's a million guys that come in here and do incredible, but he might be the guy that just gets this place the most. His material from stage to in the studio mm-hmm. translates so well. That can be a tough thing to do. Mm-hmm. You have to give questions ahead. It can be very, very hard to hit that. You hear my dad sort of hint at it when he goes, "Now, Greg, we hinted at your love life. Tell us about your family." You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, Greg is definitely an extended family, a part of that in the Bob and Tom realm.
The first time I was in the studio, I was lucky enough to fill in for Christy. Greg was coming in, and he brought a pumpkin spice latte for everyone in the studio.
Yeah.
And no one, I was like, I don't really like pumpkin spice latte at all, but I'll drink it because he was really nice. And everyone else was like, we're not drinking this. No, thank you.
Well,
he tries to buy
his friends. He's like that kind of guy.
He's the best. I really like him.
Jess, you would probably agree with me on this. A lot of comedians come in here. Granted, right now, comedians don't come in here.
Right.
But in the past, they would come in here with a little bit of nervous energy.
Yeah.
In a bad way, a sort of timid way, whereas to Willie's point, Greg comes in fired up and ready to go.
Yeah, he has a, I don't know if it's a wrestling mentality that spills over into this, but like it's like he's jumping outside of the studio and he's like, all right, let's do this.
It's like the room is the wrestling mat.
I've got 13 minutes. I got 13 minutes and let's just knock it out. And it's funny that, well, that wrestling thing spills over into his eating habits, but we won't talk about that either.
Well, he put me in a figure four with this bit because this is basically my mom and dad growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this nails it. So
that's funny.
To a T. Yeah.
And it's got that great mapping of just parents over political attack ads, and he's making fun of his parents just as much as he's making fun of political attack ads. Mm-hmm. And that ending is such a perfect ending to a joke. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing that I kind of want to point out from like a stand-up point of view. People tell you, like, write about what you know, write about personal stuff, because that's the jokes that people can't steal. You know, mm-hmm. if you're just doing jokes about Tinder and Starbucks or whatever, anybody can tell those jokes from anyone's point of view. And this is just Greg Warren. It involves his folks. I don't know. I can't. He's my favorite person maybe on Earth. He was the first guy that gave me a guest spot and let me do stand-up at a real comedy club.
Oh, wow. When was that?
This was, I must have been a year and a half in. So this is probably like 2015, 16.
Okay.
And I was home and he was at Morty's and I went to go watch him. And on the late show, he let me do five. And it was the first time Christy saw me do stand up.
I saw you that night.
You were there that night.
Are you serious?
I went to see Greg Hahn, and then Greg Warren came up, and Willie was up. I was like, "This is amazing! Look at this little
parade." So it was the first time that I think I ever felt like a real comedian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I left.
Yeah, no, it was great. I did. And if you come see me now, I'm still doing the same jokes. But yeah, he really is just the nicest, smartest, funniest, and I just can't say enough good things about Greg Warren. And if you're listening, check out his new special on Amazon Prime, Where the Fear of Corn Grows.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Very good. And I love this as sort of a tribute to his mom.
Yes.
And but the fact that he calls through his dad, calls her a terrorist.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
It's so funny.
Yeah. I mean, talk about a hard line to get a laugh on.
Yes.
You know? Absolutely.
But I feel like that's probably the best way you could do it. Yeah.
100%. And that's just expert mapping and expert writing.
Oh, yeah.
He executes it perfectly. Yeah. Greg, I can't say enough. We could do a whole episode about Greg Warren, and then we'd have to do a second and a third.
Right.
Keep talking. Yeah.
To reference a podcast that I used to do with the show, he's such a nice guy that we started just saying like horrible things about him just to be awful. And people would go to his shows and be like, F Greg Warren.
Yeah.
Because we would say that jokingly.
Yeah.
And then it spilled over and it ended up.
But it was a signature that, hey, it came from us.
It came from us. Like,
and it was a term of endearment.
Right. Instead of telling Greg hi from the OTA podcast, just say F Greg Warren.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if you don't have the sense of familiarity,
right,
it just comes off as an attack.
Right.
Me and Josh were talking about that this morning. It's a tough balance. You want to get into another bit, you guys?
Yeah. Here we go.
Welcome to Jeopardy! Today, we are live in West Palm Beach, Florida. Let's meet today's contestants. He's an 80-year-old man with poor eyesight and the inability to process complex information. Welcome, Lenny Brown. She's a 45-year-old woman who can't read. Here's Mary Smith. And finally, he's a 53-year-old man. Say hello to Barry Johnson. And now, here's your host, Alex Trebek.
Welcome, one and all, to Jeopardy. We flipped a coin backstage, and Lenny, you won the right to start the game.
All right, I'll take president contenders for $8,000, Alex.
Lenny, there is no $8,000 answer.
Oh, no? I'm sorry. I meant president contenders for $8, Alex.
There is no $8 answer either. How about a $100 answer?
All righty.
The answer is, he's the current vice president, Barry.
Who is Buchanan, Alex?
Barry.
Who are Buchanan?
Oh, I'm sorry, Barry. Lenny.
Yes, Alex?
You rang in.
Oh, I did?
Yes, do you have a response?
I'm not positive. Is it okay if I just dimple my answer?
Oh, sorry. We were looking for, who is Al Gore? Al Gore. Mary?
Who is Al Gore?
It's too late now, Mary.
I want another chance.
Me too. I didn't understand what you were getting at, Alex.
Yeah, I was confused too.
I'm sorry. No more chances on that question. Lenny, select again.
President contenders for $300,000.
I take that to mean for $200.
Right.
The answer is, he's the current governor of Texas. Mary.
Who is Bush?
Could you please be more specific, Mary?
Who is Buchanan W. Bush?
Mary.
Who is Bush, Alex?
Again, we need you to be more specific. We need a first name.
It's Barry. My first name is Barry.
The first name of the Bush who is the governor of Texas, Barry.
I'm confused, Alex.
Lenny!
Who is George W. Washington?
No, Lenny! Mary, you already had a guess.
I want another one.
Go ahead.
Who is Jesus H. Christ?
No! It's George W. Bush! Maybe you can all come back and play Jeopardy again for years from now.
So I don't think I've ever heard that one.
I don't recall.
Me neither.
I would have been in, let's see, at least 92 to 2000, I would have been in elementary school.
Yeah, I think it was right around 2000 because there was even a dimple remark in there.
Oh, like we got the, a hanging chat.
Yeah, that whole thing. So I think this was probably 99, 2000.
Yeah, okay. Because Al Gore is president, George W. Bush is running. And I think that might be the first presidential race that I even remember.
Yeah.
Yeah,
did you say Al Gore was president or vice president?
I said vice president. I could have said president.
He was running in 2000, though.
Yeah, he was running. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm phasing out. I was actually at the very end of that entire bit. She says Jesus H. Christ because she's sticking with the...
Right.
And I've never heard anyone say that before. This is totally a Bob and Tom knowing everything way before. Anyway.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I watch Outlander and she always says Jesus H. Roosevelt Christ. And I'm like, I don't know what that even means. I know you throw a Roosevelt in there because it's like 1940 something. Anyway... Right.
There you go.
Sorry. What's that from? Bob and Tom did it.
No, I love
that. So now I'm like, did they get it from Bob and Tom?
Who knows?
No, that's I would call that sort of a classic style bit they would do.
Oh, absolutely. Especially the Jeopardy type thing.
Yes, they used to do a lot of different Jeopardies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know, was SNL doing them then like that?
Well, I bet in 2000 they were. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
but we were doing them before that for sure. Definitely.
Oh, yeah,
the
mid
to late 90s.
Yeah, they were doing them at least in the 80s.
You think so?
I don't
90s.
Know about the 80s.
I just remember Will Ferrell being Alex.
Will
that
Ferrell
was
in
97.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then Norm MacDonald
is Yeah, maybe so.
Burrells.
Maybe
yes,
so.
That's the pairing.
So maybe
I
it was kind of the thing to do then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Jason. Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you might be able to answer this. I recognize Dean. I recognize Chick. Mm-hmm. The other two voices I could not figure out, but they sound very Bob and Tom familiar.
The Alex Trebek voice you didn't get?
No.
Okay.
I didn't either, but I didn't know Alex Trebek was from Canada either.
Is it one of the brothers?
You didn't know who the...
I don't know who Alex Trebek...
It's Mark Patrick.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely, 100%.
He plays that really, really
well. No, he's great.
He does. I did not. I couldn't. I was really trying to concentrate, too, and I could not pick up anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was Mark Patrick. Yeah, back then, I mean, goodness, again, that was 20 years ago. He did a lot of those announcer-y voices, mm-hmm. you know, impersonation things. He was kind of the only one that was non-Steve Salgi doing presidents and stuff.
Right. And who was the female?
I believe I talked to Dean before this. I did a little homework.
Oh. Was it Meredith?
No. I thought it was Christy.
No, it was not.
Definitely got Christy.
We believe it was a comedian.
Oh, okay.
Diana Jordan, I believe.
Oh, okay.
At the time, he said, because Dean thought of a name which was really close, and then we looked at the liner notes from a very limited album at the time called the Election Collection, because there was so much surrounding that 2000 election that there were plenty of just bits and things mm-hmm. coming out of it. So I went and checked the liner notes, and that was one of the names. Diana Jordan, I believe, was a comedian. Hmm. So we think it was her. She happened to be in, and she kind of has a fun, that voice, you know, that kind of. Yeah.
It's a really, really fun voice.
Yeah, she's fun.
And one of my favorite things, the girl's name is Mary. The guy is Barry. What's the third person's name?
Maybe it was Larry.
There was a
Barry.
Chick's character is Barry.
Barry. Yeah.
Barry. And then
is Lenny Brown or Larry Brown?
I think it's Lenny.
It's Lenny. But I just love, from a writer's point of view, I just love it when character names rhyme.
Yeah.
Because in college I would do it, and every professor goes, you know, you're doing Larry and Terry. It's really distracting.
Well, here's how dumb I am. I've listened to that bit 3 times now in the past 2 days. I didn't notice they rhymed.
Really?
Yeah. I totally did not.
I didn't either.
I was listening more for content.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh my gosh.
I think that like Chick channels like a Forrest Gump, like you hear a little bit of that in it too.
Sure.
I don't know. I think that's funny.
That bit really plays up callbacks.
Yeah.
You know, the silliness of the callbacks. And sometimes that can be it seems forced, but man, the way Dean produces those, they're so on point.
And I was going to say, presidentially, knowledge wise, I think Dean is
absolutely
the most intelligent.
He is the president of all the presidents, I think.
So I imagine that he was integral in writing that.
Well, and you even think, all right, Dean, what's the funniest presidential name? He's probably going to say Buchanan.
Buchanan hits for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
Hard K right in the middle. The Bu, that's a lot of fun. Yeah. Say Bu 10 times fast. You can't.
Bu. It's so good.
Yeah, you can't focus anymore. Bu.
I just realized that was the first election I voted in. I could. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've voted every time I could. That's one of my only accomplishments.
Is that kind of one of those things you always remember your first?
Yeah, I think so.
A fun fact, here you go, people. If you didn't remember this from history, the election always happens on the first Tuesday in November following a Monday in November. So if November 1st is a Tuesday, the election falls on November 8th, my birthday.
Oh.
And the first year I could have voted happened November 7th, I think.
So you had to wait.
I was like, that's cool, guys. That's cool. I'll just wait another 4 years.
Literally 3 years and 364 days.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Wow.
It's just fun because...
That's wacky.
Such a random... Yeah. You know. Because, mm-hmm. you know, on Halloween, people are going to forget, I got to get up tomorrow and vote.
Yeah. Right, oh, that's
Do you think
true.
That's why they did that?
I don't know.
That's why it's never on the first?
I think they do that with Labor Day also. I might be making that up.
Maybe just so you get to the month so you can remember it. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, November, it's voting season. But I would like it if it was just ruled, being like, well... Everyone's going to be on Halloween hungover.
Right.
You know, we can't.
Right.
We're drinking on Halloween.
Why do they get so crazy Mondays on Halloween?
Just like Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. Yeah. Look, they're going to be wasted the night before. People doing body shots. People getting drunk. We got to give them a week.
Do you ever wonder how many like legislative decisions and laws, those anything like that, that are made based on like... Well, you know, people will probably be drinking, so...
My buddy, Alex Dragovich, a guy in Chicago, has this great joke about how 0.08 is the limit or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because it could be... I'm going to butcher the joke. I shouldn't be doing that. Just go to Alex's Instagram. He's incredible.
Okay.
Former college basketball player. Played at Notre Dame and Boston College.
Stop.
Yeah. Really, really good guy. But just the whole joke is just like something along the lines of like... we can't drink. The driving limit should be 0. And it's like, well, what if you're going to the in-laws? And you go, all right. 2 beers. It's a really funny line.
That's great. Yeah.
Do we have another bit?
Yes, we do have one. And my apologies, because you're going to hear my voice first. And it was my voice from about 20 years ago.
Baby Jason.
It was the first bit, and I've only produced just a handful, like less than 10 bits through the years.
Yeah.
And 10 might even be kind of a high number.
Okay.
But this was the first bit I ever produced, and I believe Dean was out like maybe for a week.
I think I know what this is.
Yeah. And and it's one of those things that we all have these situations and these experiences with Tom. Tom comes to you and says, you might not have never done this thing. And he's like, here, could you do this? Well, yeah, I've never done it, but you can't say no to Tom.
Oh.
And so I went in and produced this piece, and there's enough of my apology up front. So let's go ahead and hit it.
The following is a paid political announcement.
Where have you been? I haven't seen you in a while.
I've been in jail.
Whatever for?
Excessive masturbation. I can't believe the laws in this country.
You got that right. That's why I'm voting for Chick McGee for Congress.
Chick McGee? Never heard of him.
You've never heard of Chick McGee? Why, he's the Rosa Parks of excessive public masturbation.
You mean he did it on a bus?
I'm not sure, but probably yeah.
Well, I guess he does stand for the little guy. Not like his opponent, Jack Wilson. This year, I think I'm going to vote Jack off the ballot and pull the handle of Chick McGee for Congress.
Hello, I'm Chick McGee, and I'm running for Congress in your district. Masturbation is no crime, and I promise you that as your congressman, I'll take a hard stance in Washington. Right after I take a nap.
This message paid for by the friends of Chick McGee, Paul Rubens' treasurer.
Oh, yeah.
Sticking into Paul Rubens.
I wouldn't have known that was you.
Really?
I don't think I would have known that was you.
If it was
you
just have said my it. Whisper voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was you. That was Jess.
That was me. That was
some of your early work.
I was an intern here. Yeah, I was an intern here in 2002. And that was that semester.
I smile every time you say, you got that right.
that's a baby voice. Yeah, so that's, that's 18 years old, like right now. That's when I was an intern. So.
That is wild.
Wow. Yeah. I don't feel old at all.
Of course, 18 years ago, you were 13 years old.
Right, yeah. Exactly. No, wow. I said, the last time I was in the studio, we were talking about like, aging and how long we'd all been around here.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I'm just going to start telling people that I'm 45 and they're going to be like, you look really good for 45. And Tom didn't look away from his computer. He goes, that's actually a pretty good idea. Thanks.
And then Godwin said, I go the other way. I usually go the opposite.
He does. Oh my gosh. I just had that conversation with him too. I said, hey, aren't you and Chick the same age? He was like, no, I'm younger. And I was like, I think you're younger by like maybe 2 weeks. He goes, yeah, I'm still younger. And he was so serious.
I thought he was older.
No, he's 2 weeks younger. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's one of the great mysteries of the show. Yeah. It'll never be revealed. Right. It's going to go down like the Titanic.
But
I'll
need to know Pat's stance on masturbation.
Yeah, that's what we need to know. He's pro.
He's a pro at masturbation and he's pro masturbation. He supports it, I assume. I don't know. I'm not trying to make fun of you, Pat.
That was a lot of fun to do. Because I don't know, that was one that I was like, hey, like I told my friends, we have to listen when this airs. I'm really excited about this because I say excessive public masturbation.
What was awesome. That like? That is so cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was I always had this daydream that I would tell my dad, and I did not tell my dad to listen to this one.
Oh, okay.
So, I told my brother, who was still in high school at the time, and a couple of friends, and we got up early, and we listened to the show. Yeah, and it was pretty pumped.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that scene in Lost where Charlie's band is like, we're not going to go anywhere. We'll never play rock and roll music. And they're about to quit up, and then the van breaks in the rain, and they're like, they're playing us on the radio, Charlie! Yeah. They're playing us on the radio!
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was your high school-age little brother going, masturbation, Jess, I like this.
Yeah, this is my sister.
What a great feeling that had to be.
It was
tingles
huge.
Because I recall mine, too, but I know what you're feeling.
Yeah, it was, we all have that story of like listening to the show and just being in the building is huge. And the thought that anybody would ever ask you to actually be on a bit. And I think this may be on an album.
Yep.
And so it was like, holy crap, I have reached every goal I've ever had since the second grade. It was nuts.
And it's on an album, but this is pre-YouTube. It's pre-Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pre-Instagram. There's no clips that are floating around.
No.
You can't send the link to somebody if you want to.
No.
It's this weird magical thing where you're like, we got to, at 6:57, it's going to play.
Yeah.
You know?
It was huge. And it still is. It's my first bit was Sheetos, and we don't have to revisit that ever. So this was the first one I will claim.
We might someday play. we'll focus on each of you. We'll play like the first 5 seconds of that.
Yeah, that's rough.
It'll be.
I'm pretty sure my first bit I ever did, I wasn't allowed to listen to.
Are you serious?
I think I was like a little kid, and it was like maybe they were taking little kid stuff out of context. You
right.
Know?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I think it might have been one of those bits.
Yeah.
But the first bit I ever did was the Tim Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Sam and Willie show.
Sure.
I can't wait to do an episode of
the Sam and Willie.
They played it this morning.
Yeah, I heard that.
My little ass talking like this.
I love it so much.
How you doing? And I talk as fast as a moving train. I can't slow down. I said it off air, but I had a teacher at the Second City Training Center, and this guy just kept telling me that I talked too fast, and honestly, it was true. But just week after week, we had these auditions coming up, and he'd go, do the scene again, but talk so I can understand you this time. Yeah. And so I'm super self-conscious about
it now. Oh my gosh.
You know what I think? I don't know if this is like a symptom of that, but my dad reminds me a lot of Tom, and I talk fast because I don't know how much time I have. And so I just like, hey, Dad, I got to tell you this really fast, and then we'll be done, and I promise I won't ever bother you again. And I think that that's why I talk fast.
Yeah.
And then I'll be talking fast to Tom.
Get it out.
And he's like, I have no idea what you just said.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You talk like the end of an ad read. Mutual Sex Supply. Check local. Listen.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be remiss if we didn't discuss the other voice in there.
Oh, Jimbo.
Oh, our Jimbo. sweet Jimbo.
One of the first people that I talked to when I started working in the building at the front desk. He was that guy, and he'd go, oh, hi, it's you. And then he became my guy and my guide to kind of the Bob and Tom show, because obviously it's a different wing.
Mm-hmm.
He's the man.
Osmond, I didn't know you were here during the Jimbo era. That's awesome.
I was, thankfully.
It had to barely overlap.
The tail end, right?
Because he moved to Oklahoma.
I had him at least a year, I think.
Okay.
Because I had 5 months of the genius of Marty Bender.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
And then I had maybe like a yearish.
I was gonna say
Jimbo.
So Jimbo hasn't been gone quite nine years.
Something like that. Crazy. It's been that long, but
yeah, I didn't know you worked at the front desk either.
I did two jobs part time. I worked at the front desk, and I was also a continuity director. If you are familiar with traffic, in the old media world.
But that was after you were an intern.
I started here as a production intern in the fall. And it was really exciting because they didn't usually take interns in the fall. Not for Bob and Tom. I never was an intern for Bob and Tom. I didn't think I was good enough to intern, so I didn't even try to reach out to anybody.
Oh.
I just, at Anderson University, I took an announcing class, and Tim Denniston, the legend Tim Denniston, that voice.
That's a voice.
He was teaching the announcing class. And as soon as he started to speak, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the voice of WFBQ. I'm losing my mind. I can't believe I'm in here. And he's playing some of his stuff as an example. And I still fell asleep in class sometimes because it was right after lunch. And as soon as I sit still, I fall asleep. I'm like, but I tried really hard. And I remember submitting these like production voice bits. Mm-hmm. And I'm silly. I don't care about looking cute or cool. I'm like ridiculous. And I was so scared to submit this voice thing. And it was like, I'm an out-of-work genie voice. And I was, whatever. Tim thought it was great.
That's fun.
At least he was really appreciative of it.
I think the out-of-work genie should have a segment, maybe.
I'm a genie. An out-of-work genie. Yeah, it's hard. Where are you going? I was trying to channel like Lucille Ball.
It's good.
Smoking some cigarettes. And everyone else in class went with the sexy genie. Like, I'm an out-of-work genie.
Oh.
And I'm like, boo.
Yeah.
They're yelling at you. Get back in the bottle.
I ended up emailing Tim asking for a potential internship at FBQ, and he's like, absolutely, we could use you for production.
Yeah.
And which was nice. I didn't have to do the promotion stuff, blow up the balloon, make the trees, do the events.
If you were going to be an intern, a production intern would probably be your best option.
Oh,
plus, they love not paying people to work here. So
I actually got to produce some stuff. I remember it was the Jackson and Bullitt show on the sports station.
Sure.
I put together a promo for that.
Yeah,
I heard a commercial on the air. I think it was for dancers. My voice, but I'm like, all right. But anyway,
did you tell your dad to listen?
Yeah. No. No, not so much. I was like, when they hear it, he's kind of like, oh,
yeah,
But Tim is a great guy, and he's on some plenty of bits that we'll mention him in the future. But he ended up moving to South Bend. He still does some voice stuff. So you're still hearing his voice.
Oh, yeah.
I still hear his voice on commercials on other stations in this town. Uh-huh.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's the network voice. You're listening to Bob and Tom.
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. What am I thinking? You hear that every day. Yeah, at least once an hour.
Yeah. That's my Tim. It's not really good.
That's very good, actually.
I liked it.
As my arms apple.
But I'm with Willie. We really need to hone in on this how to work genie voice and get something going.
I want to know more about her.
Yes.
Well, I kind of used her inspiration for the she it.
Oh yeah.
Which I want to hear she toes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm starting to think that they have a theme here.
Yeah. That's funny.
I love Jimbo's line. Go back to him in there. He had the line, Chick McGee. Never heard of him.
Yeah.
We said that a lot in that era.
Yes.
We just, stuff would happen. Never heard of him.
You guys, I know that for a long time working in here, I didn't watch Seinfeld for a long time.
Right,
Jason and Matt can contest to that. But there were so many things that we would say around the office and at lunch, and I'd be like, hey, I know that's not Seinfeld. I know that that's from, you know, Radiogram. Because there's just wild things that people still say today that are just from albums or from moments on the air.
Yep.
That it's just like, that's the tag for whatever we're doing.
Yeah,
it still sticks. Yeah. Do you know how many times we'll be talking in an official meeting and then one of the staffers, like, you know, us people behind the scenes just go, whatever, you know, something like that.
Because
it sticks.
Mm-hmm.
It sticks with us.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yep.
Yeah. If we could just circle back to Jimbo just one second.
Sure.
Jimbo,
I'm going to keep making it about me whenever we bring up Jimbo.
I think you should make it about yourself, but I think you should do it as the Auto Works lady.
Yes.
Whatever her name
Auto
is.
Auto Works?
What is it again?
Out of Work Genie.
What's Auto Works?
Oh, Out of Work Genie?
Out of Work Genie.
Oh, I thought it was an Auto Work Genie, like you were working on cars.
That's God. Her job. That's what
Am I
she
not
used
my
to
father's
do.
Son or what?
But she lost her job.
Both fit. Okay.
Yeah, made it my own thing, gave it my own name. Perfect. Oh my gosh.
Tell me about Genie. Or Genie. Jimbo.
Yeah, Jimbo did a lot of very important jobs, I'm sure, but when I was a kid, he was just the guy that drove me to school.
Sure.
He was the greatest. But Jimbo, one of my favorite bits that I have ever done and that I still do, when Jimbo drove me to school, we would pass a place that was called Johnny's Market, and they had a sign that was just never fixed. It was always just flashing, and it's Johnny's Market, and it would flash like this. And Jimbo just did this thing. I'm going to do it for you guys.
Sure.
I don't think you'll think it's very funny. But it would pass, we would go, Johnny's market. And every time I pass it, I do it.
Yeah.
Every time.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I don't know why. I thought it was the funniest thing I had ever done. And then today, me and my older brother, Sam, not today, I dropped him off at his buddy's house on Sunday to watch football. And we were just driving there, and he was like, do you remember the drives with Jim? I was like, Johnny's market.
That's great.
The greatest.
That's
truly
awesome.
Like the greatest. And I hope Jimbo hears that, because I know he remembers it too.
Oh, he's great.
We'll
he's
let
great.
Him know for
I
sure.
I have a Jimbo story that I'll share another time.
Okay.
Yeah. He probably saved my life once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yep. Jimbo's good people. I still today, since we're talking Jimbo, on my, this is really boring, my apologies, but on my desktop of my computer that records the show, I always make a file for Monday, because Mark comes in and opens up my file and starts it, so I don't have to be here at 6 o'clock.
Okay? Sure.
Mike, Mark, whatever. So every Friday, I label that file Monk Day, whatever the day is. I put a K in there for some reason, and the reason I do it is because I accidentally did it years ago, and Jimbo used to start my machine.
Yep.
And he noticed the K and thought, oh, that's funny, Monk Day. So to this day, I still, every Friday, I change it. I type in Monk Day instead
that's
of Monday
funny.
As a little tribute to Jimbo, even though he hasn't been here in 9 years.
Yeah.
No, it sticks.
How silly is it? It sticks.
It sticks. I have my friend Mark Renucci is in my phone as Gary the Lake Monster. Because when we worked at a summer camp, I told the kids in my cabin that there was a lake monster. His name was Gary. And they said, well, why don't you call him to prove it? I go, of course I can call Gary the Lake Monster. I texted Mark. I said, hey, man, go along with this. And then I called him and I go, hey, Gary the Lake Monster. Oh, hey, it's Gary the Lake Monster. How are you doing, kids? So, yeah, sometimes things stick.
That is wonderful.
That's great.
That is wonderful.
Thanks for listening to Bits and Pieces. We calling it here?
Yeah, that's fine. I think we had a good one here. We didn't get political at all. Thank goodness, right?
Thank goodness.
We had a lot of fun. That's what we did. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks again.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith right? teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.